Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts this morning comes from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 18 to 31, as follows. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, our nation puts great emphasis on education. In fact, education is the law. If you don't send your children to school at a certain age and with punctuality and regularity, you are guilty of truancy. That's against the law. Our nation, our states require us to educate our children, and that is a good thing. We place great emphasis on education ourselves here at St. John's Lutheran Church. In fact, we are planning on opening, with God's grace and guidance, a grade school education, kindergarten through eighth grade, this fall. Valley Bible Academy. We are following not the world's advice or our state of Washington's advice. We are following Solomon's advice. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that fear, that's not that being afraid kind of fear. This is the giving all glory to God. That's what the word fear means when Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Giving all glory to God, that's the beginning of wisdom. Acknowledging that the best wisdom comes from the Lord. And we realize that there are laws in our land that must be obeyed, and so we hope to preach Christ crucified as the center theme of the education, the three R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and the rest of the education that we'll be giving the children in our Valley Bible Academy. And we continue to ourselves apply God's word in our lives to give all glory to God, knowing that that's the beginning of genuine wisdom, even as we go through life learning things and becoming, hopefully, wiser as we go. Wiser and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We realize, as God's children, that the cross is true wisdom. During our midweek Lenten season, we've been concentrating on the hidden glories of the cross. And here in our text for this fourth Sunday in Lent, we are given cause to rejoice in the hidden glories of the cross. We are given cause here in these verses to rejoice in God's foolishness, which is even wiser than men. We know that the cross is true wisdom. God's foolishness brings down man's wisdom, and God's wisdom brings about our salvation. Paul's opening verse. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. A couple of really important teachings right in this opening verse. Fact is, there is a place where the perishing go. It's called hell. And there is a place where the saved go. It's called heaven. And as we know, when God comes again on the last day, when Jesus makes his appearance on those clouds of glory, when the last trumpet sounds and you lift up your head and look, because here comes your redemption, there's going to be a judgment. God, the righteous judge, will judge between believers and unbelievers. Unbelievers will be sent to hell, that very real place of anguish and eternal torment. Believers, you and I, will be sent to heaven. We'll hear the king say to those on his right-hand side, which will be us, "Come, you blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the earth." Those mansions that Jesus is even now preparing for you and for me and all those who are his dear children. We look forward to that day. And the Paul's opening verse says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. As God's children, we think that's the height of foolishness, to reject the message of the cross. After all, it is so easy, isn't it? We believe by faith that Jesus paid for all of our sins. Our first two hymns we sang this morning, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. We believe that because the Bible teaches it. We sing praises to God on Sunday morning for his shed precious blood in our behalf. We thank our Heavenly Father for his plan of salvation to send Jesus. We thank our Heavenly Father for saving us through that message preached. We who are being saved, the message of the cross is the sweetest words to our hearing. To us who are being saved, it is the power of God. God's word contains power. Power to save. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Now, in many churches in our day and age, Christian churches, they'll emphasize the truth of God's word, that God's word is truth, and it is, by the way. They'll emphasize that they believe in the entire Bible because it's God's word, it's his truth. But they shy away from the idea that within God's word there is power to save. That God works through his word to save people, through the gospel as it's found in the word and sacraments. They reject that idea. In fact, the teaching that God works through the word and sacraments is only believed by a handful of God's dear children who call themselves God's dear children. The teaching of the means of grace, which is what that is a teaching peculiar to Lutherans, conservative Lutherans like us. And why? Why is that? When there's so many clear passages like this one, the message of the cross for us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Can there be any doubt that God works through the message preached? Paul emphasizes that even later on, that it's God has chosen to, through the message preached, to save those who believe. God through the foolishness of the message preached. Why aren't our pews jammed full this morning with people clamoring to get in here and to hear this message? Because to them it's foolishness. But the message of the cross is true wisdom, and we know it is. And we know that God's foolishness puts down man's wisdom. What is man's wisdom? What's natural man's wisdom about salvation? They have to have a hand in it. They got to be part of it. By what they think, say, or do, they have to contribute in some way, shape, or form. Even a lot of the Christian denominations in our day and age, They'll say Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but then they'll add a little trailer. Now you have to believe this. Now you have to give so much of your money. Now you have to live your life a certain way. God does not add the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th commandments to our lives when He saves us through the message preached. That foolishness of God is wiser than the wisest man's idea of how to get to heaven. Let men think of different philosophies. Let people come up with their own strange ideas about how the about how a God out there might save people. Usually it has to do with some sacrifice on your behalf that you have to make. But see, the cross is all about a sacrifice too. The cross on our behalf. God's wisdom brings about our salvation through that wisdom of the cross, which we know is true. The one-time sacrifice that Jesus made in our behalf, where His blood did flow and paid the price for every single sin that's ever been committed or ever will be committed, where God, through His Son Jesus Christ, justified the world. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. And so now, despite the fact that our pews aren't full, and there are many out there who reject the whole idea about going to church and talking about blood and sacrifices and talking about, you know, the Bible's way, they do it any other way except for Scripture. But God's wisdom brings about our salvation. Sinful people, by nature, expect something else from God than what He gives them. What does God give people? He gives them a Savior to pay for their sins. But sinful people want to have a hand. They want to be part of it. They refuse to think it's already all been done. What does God give them? A Savior who rose from the dead and guarantees that His children will one day too rise from the dead. What do they want? They don't want that. They want a sign. They want to be convinced. Convince me, Lord. Give me a sign. Let something happen to me in my life that will convince me that what You say is true. Rather than just letting the Holy Spirit work in their hearts through the Word. God gives all the treasures of heavenly wisdom and knowledge found in the Word. You and I know it. We revel and rejoice in the fact that every word of God is true. Scripture can't be broken. Every answer to all of life's questions are right there in the Bible. And God blesses us as we study it. He increases our knowledge and of His grace and kindness towards us in His love and sending His Son. We rejoice in that. And as evidence of proof of God's wisdom and power in our lives, take a good look at your calling, Paul says. You see your calling, brethren. Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That's true, isn't it? Not many of us are PhDs with high IQs, but there's a few in our synod, our little church synod, in our congregation. Not many of us are noble, of noble birth, you know, have royalty in our backgrounds, but you know, there's a few. Not many of us have authority and power, but there are a few. In fact, most of us are pretty same, pretty ordinary, simple people. In fact, really, when it comes down to it, we with the Apostle Paul look inside ourselves and see nothing but wretched sinners. People who really are nothing at all. And that's Paul's point here. Take a good look. There really aren't many people who are mighty or powerful or noble or learned. But even those things are earthly things. And you know believers who would fit the bill. But they put that aside, knowing that the genuine wisdom comes from the cross. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you might have a very learned person with you or amongst you. But they are exercising their great humility that the Lord has given them. Whether it be for their intelligence, their power, their fame, they still realize where all these gifts come from, and they use them for God's glory. We too being the simple people that we are, realize that it's all God. He's doing it all for us. The scripture, verse 27 says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. The wisest man in our world today, who is he or she? I know a kindergartner and a first grader who would be able to tell them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. And yet they would reject it. They don't hear that. Foolishness for children. And you see how the Lord uses his foolishness of the message preached to put to shame the wise. In the end, what good is wisdom if you refuse God's wisdom, the genuine wisdom? It's good for nothing. What good is power and might when the real power comes from the message of the cross? What good is fame and fortune and getting ahead in the world when you missed out on Christ's humility and what he did for you to go to the cross in humbleness and meekness so that the price for your sins could be paid in full and that you could show that same humility to others and tell them of the love of the Savior for them? Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." These verses before us today tell us where genuine wisdom comes from, that the cross of Christ is true wisdom, and how God's foolishness brings down man's wisdom, and God's wisdom brings about our salvation. There's some astonishing verses here for us to remind ourselves of the grace and goodness of God and how it's all him doing everything in our lives. Even though our sinful nature turns away and again, yet it is God who continues to call us to him and to keep us in the faith. Look at verse 30 and 31. "But of him, you," of him is God, "of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Don't read over too quickly those four grand words. Of him, of God, you are in Christ Jesus. You are connected to Jesus Christ. And Jesus became for us wisdom. All of God's word which we have before us in the words of the 66 books of the Bible, that's Jesus. He's the word. And he speaks to us with his wisdom. He became for us wisdom from God. He became for us righteousness. You know, we need the righteousness of Christ in order to get to heaven. God said, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Well, I don't feel holy on a daily basis. And you don't either when your sins remind you of how you failed God. But this says that God made Jesus to be your righteousness, so that now you wear Christ's perfect keeping of God's holy law. Every day, that's how God sees you. He made him, Jesus, to be righteousness for us. Not only wisdom and righteousness, but sanctification. The word sanctification here means how you live your life. Your daily walk and talk. And this is the part where a lot of preachers go wrong on a Sunday morning. They tell the people, "Okay now, let's use God as an example and take Jesus' life as helping the poor. Let's get our lives in order. Let's walk the walk, not just talk the talk. You have to do it if you're a Christian." Well, that's mixing law with gospel. The gospel message is that even our sanctification, even the things that we will do that show that we are Christians, Christ has become that for us too. Beautiful verse. Christ became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification, so that finally we could be rewarded redemption, the buying back of our souls from the devil. Jesus did that for us, too, on the cross. So what can we claim by ourselves? What human wisdom would people use to say, "Okay, this is how you get to heaven"? We could say, that's all foolishness. because the preaching of the cross shows it. God chose the foolishness of the message preached to save those of us, to save us, his children. We have been given redemption. Is there any credit we can take? No, it all comes from God's grace and his merit. So therefore we conclude, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Is there something to brag about in our lives? Only when we brag about what Christ did for us. What a blessing to be able to tell others, to rejoice this fourth Sunday in Lent, which is the main theme, to rejoice for what Christ has done for us. He has become our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. What beautiful gospel message. All what God is doing for us without any strings attached. That's what he does for us. That's the message Jesus brought, and that's why sinners and tax collectors flocked to hear him, and that's why the Pharisees got mad when he associated with sinners. This message is for us, and it saves. And it'll even save the sin-hardened people who are set in their ways about how to save themselves. The foolishness of the message preached will continue to slice through the wisdom of man. We thank the Lord, and we rejoice that it has done so in our lives. Let's take that message out, and let's rejoice to see it work, the foolishness of the message preached, out and amongst those whom we know and whom the Holy Spirit puts in our path to help this Lenten season and our whole lives long. Rejoice, fellow believers. Christ crucified gives us a joy which the world cannot give, but we can give them. Amen.